All right, we're back to being live. We've finished our regular session, moving back into the work session. So we're going to continue on with the budget. We are on the capital outlay, page 2, and I believe we are now on to public works, unless there's any questions about emergency sirens.
So, Mayor Heidemann and members of council, I did pass out kind of that scoring sheet. And this is on all the vehicles that are coming up now for discussion for the public works in the park. So the front one looks like it's kind of a maintenance cost, and that the stars by them are the ones that are the current requests. The ones that do not have a star by them on this front sheet are the ones that were crossed off and it's going to be pushed to later year.
Perfect. So. I believe.
Absolutely.
Let's keep going with public works, and then let's come back to this if there's any questions. Let's get some time to overlook it. But this is good. Thank you for printing this out. This definitely helps. We'll peruse it while we listen to public works. All right. The Ford F-350 with dump.
So, Mr. Mayor, we'll update this sheet for the next meeting. So the first two on here. 65, to replace the 2013 Ford F-350 with dump and plow equipment, and then the new reconfigured 2013 F-350. So those are really the same. Those are the same piece of equipment. So we're updating the chassis truck with a hook truck, and then we're going to purchase the boxes that come with it. So this is the most complicated one on public works. So if I could try and jump into this one, Shane Turner, street supervisor, would have been able to convey this better, but I'll do my best. So right now we're using all F-350s, or we're starting to transition to F-550s, which are bigger trucks, have more towing capacity and hauling capacity. The equipment that we're hauling, the trailers, the equipment are getting bigger and heavier. And especially when you like load them down, say our patching trailer, or it's pavement patching trailer, when you load that with the patching material, it gets really heavy. Same for our vac truck, once you go out and start vacuuming lift stations or ditches and culverts, whatever, and it starts filling up with water and whatever other liquids are in there. It gets heavy. And Ford F-350s, we're finding, are not heavy enough. We're exceeding the capacity. We're starting to replace a lot of springs, rear springs. And we're pretty confident that if we were to be stopped and inspected, that we would not pass the inspection. So we are transitioning to a Ford F-550. It has more capacity and it can haul more. And the price differential between that and the 350 is only about $5,000. It's really minimal. And so we're going to be doing less repairs to the truck. We know they're not going to break down on the road. We know if we get stopped, they pass inspections. So just generally, you're going to see a lot more replacing an F-350 with an F-550. So I just wanted to give you that background. This request here is for a hook lift system, it says in here, for those first two. So what our request is to replace one of the old F-350s with an F-550 that has a hook system on it, a hook lift system, where one person can go out and change boxes on it. You can go from a flatbed to a dump box to a box that has a salter sander in it that's used for salting and sanding. Right now we have to use a forklift to go out, and it takes multiple people and a forklift to take the box off of one of these F-350s and reattach it to a different one if we need to do that. Maybe there's an F-350 sitting there at the right box you need to use that day, but depending on what we're doing, we change the boxes on these trucks often, and it takes multiple people and a forklift to do it. A hook lift system, you can do it very easily with one person, and then you just change the box. You leave the boxes there. You have your chassis truck, you back it up to whatever box you want, you hook it up, and you can go. And so the intent is to try and have a get some, you know, get these boxes, one box at least to start with, and then one chassis truck, and use that in place of using buying specific trucks with specific boxes that come as a pair, and that you then have to spend a lot of time changing these boxes back and forth with. So that's what the first two requests on the sheet are. We'll go back and fix this up for the next meeting, and so it reads better and has more justification information in it.
A question. I think this is actually a perfect scenario to tie this line item with the fleet point replacement guidelines. So if you see on here, they get 12 points for the, that's the first page, the first one. 12 points because it's 12 years old. Then we have 6 points because it's got 67,000 miles. I feel like we're kind of double counting right there, because honestly, if it's 12 years old with 0 miles on it, does it really deserve 12 points? I know that replacement parts can be more difficult than 12. But if you were to say, I look at this, I see it's 67,000 miles. Type of service is a 3. Reliability is a 2. So I see a generally reliable vehicle with 67,000 miles. Marked as a 2 for maintenance and repair cost. It doesn't... I would almost get rid of those 12 points, because I feel like the age and the miles, you either do one for the other, but if you got rid of those 12 points because it's 12 years old, it's in generally good condition and it's got low miles, that brings it down to, a 19? So, I'm hearing what you're saying, though, about the springs and things of that nature and needing a bigger vehicle to carry more weight and things of that nature. So, I'm not saying we don't need it, but based on what you said is wrong with it and why it needs to be swapped out, I'm not sure if this fleet point replacement guideline is the most effective form to determine what needs to be replaced or not. I don't know if there's thoughts by other members or if there's a rebuttal from our staff. That's just my initial thoughts looking at that.
Mr. Mayor,
please do.
Just for council's knowledge, so this, we've been using this rating system, this sheet. This was obtained by staff when they went to a seminar, and this was discussed by one of the seminar leaders, workshop leaders, and passed out. And we've been using this for quite a while. I believe we've been using this for probably going on 8 or more years. So I don't know exactly where this came from, but we've been using this for a long time. But if you're questioning the validity of it, the effectiveness of it, we can see if there's better tools out there, more current tools, or ones that more accurately reflect, you know, don't double dip or tend to be redundant in any of the weightings, any of the categories.
And to be clear, I'm not debating the validity of your request. It sounds like springs are an issue and being underpowered is an issue. I'm just wondering if this is the best metric to gauge things by, because maybe this point system is underselling how much we need to replace some vehicles in some scenarios, and maybe it's overselling how much they need to be replaced. If we have a maintenance vehicle that's carrying, you know, garbage cans around, and we're double counting age and miles, maybe we don't need to replace that. But then if we have something that comes back as 18 points, but the wheels are falling off because it can't handle the weight, maybe that justifies replacing it. So, I don't know, just some food for thought as we look through this. A lot of these are going to be based on points, so I just want to make sure we're understanding that point system may be imperfect as we look. So I'm looking for more substantial reasons outside of just the points, I guess, is my thought going forward. Chris?
I guess I just want to clarify. So the first line, the $114,000, is that just the hook system, or is that a whole truck with that? And then the second line, is that another truck, or that's the truck that you're intending on putting the hook lift system in?
Councilmember Riley, my My understanding at this point is that the first $114,000 is the chassis truck with the hook lift system on it. So it's the truck, the chassis, and the hook lift system. And then the second line item are the boxes that come with it.
The reconfiguration.
That's my current understanding. Mr. Turner could answer that, but.
So there's only one truck there for $170,000.
With the boxes, with multiple boxes.
So we're buying a truck, and then we're reconfiguring that truck with the ability to adapt to multiple boxes.
And Mr. Mayor, council members, the intent would be to buy another truck somewhere down the road, just the chassis, and then you wouldn't need to buy the boxes again. So it would be a truck without boxes on it, another hook lift truck, but then you'd already have the boxes there. Maybe if there's one box you use way more than any other one and you want to have a spare, maybe you buy it with just that one box. But this is a new path we're starting down. We've heard good things about it from other cities that we've talked to. So that's a request, but we can firm this one up and come back with better information on the next meeting.
All right, thank you for that one. We've got a big one here. We got the plow, dump and plow.
Yeah, so Mr. Mayor, this is our oldest plow truck in the fleet. Points, 34 points. So it is rated as a replacement. I'm not sure if this was one that we had replaced that we had pulled out last year. I don't recall if this was one that we did. I think it is, but it is.
Just to interrupt, to note, in the third column it says replace 2016 Sterling. It's actually 2009.
Good catch. Thank you.
Yeah, it's right over on the far right.
Okay.
But yeah, we did pull it last year.
So this was scheduled to be replaced last year, but we kept it on the books. We kept it in service, and now we're considering replacing it again this year. Correct?
Correct.
Oh, or Dan.
Thank you, Ryan. For something like this, is that something, we just keep running and use until it dies? For another truck for plowing or anything like that? If we get a new one.
Are you saying keep it as kind of a backup, a spare?
Well, or just have one more truck doing plowing if we get a lot of snow or something like that. Versus, do we get quite a bit when we trade it in or anything like that?
15.
No, we don't get much for trading them in. We have a set number of plow routes, and so we have a set number of drivers.
Right, we do everything.
Once in a while, we'll run into a situation where a truck does go down. So we do try and keep one truck, have one truck more than drivers generally. Or if we have a really bad snowfall and we need to send another truck out, we can, have another staff another jump in there and help out. But we don't get a lot of resale value, and we don't try and keep lots of spares sitting around.
How many plow trucks do we have?
I knew you were going to ask that question. I think we have about 10. 10 full size? 9? 9 or 10.
And I ask more looking at the cost, not that all of a sudden you're 3 in mm-hmm. 1 year, and now we're looking at $1 billion worth of plow trucks. So to keep them staggered would be nice from a financial impact standpoint, too.
Yeah. Reminiscent of roads.
Yeah, we don't want to create a bubble, that's for sure. But my question is, do we have any extra plow trucks right now?
Extra plow trucks. We have one more plow truck than we have routes right now, yes.
Because I would agree with Administrator Hagan on, we don't want to create a bubble, that's true. But once again, I look at this, I see reliability as 2. And then 52,000 miles. It's very old, so maybe we do need to purchased a new one. But to Councilmember Riley's point before, every decision we make now also affects the years to come. I know that's on personnel. But at some point, maybe we sit on two extra ones and we stop ordering new ones for a while. Because we have plow trucks that are a 2 out of 5 for reliability. What would happen if we didn't replace it? I would bet on the 2, not replacing it. So once again, we're not making decisions here. Just some thoughts as we go through this list for our next discussion at it. All right, we'll keep on going. We got a couple marked off. So keep an eye on those things because those are marked off by our staff to reduce the increase. So thank you for doing that. But maybe it's something that needs to come out at some point, so keep an eye on that. But it looks like we'll move on to Parks and Rec, the 2007 Chevy half-ton.
Mr. Mayor, council member, this is a... I haven't looked at their points yet. This is a very old unit. This is Mr. Riverblood's truck, actually. Probably one of our oldest in the fleet right now. Is it serviceable? Is it running? It is serviceable. It is running. But it is... It's been at the low end of, you know, as kind of the low-hanging fruit for replacement for quite a while. So it's a 30 point, so it's only 2 points above the 28.
All right. Any questions on that one? All right, we can keep going. Got a water truck.
So this is a 2008 water truck. So this is the truck we use for wetting rinks and numerous other things, wetting gravel roads before we grade them, things like that. Again, this is a pretty old truck. It's reached its life expectancy. It's at 36 points on our rating scale, which is getting pretty high in the points. So we think it's time to replace it. It's we're looking at doing a quarter of a cost. So Diana, this water truck, we're doing a quarter of the cost, and you said C Enterprise funds below.
Yeah, it's Delta.
So this isn't a multi-year proposal for funding.
No, it's water, sewer, and storm would pay the other 240 or 235, and then
for immediate replacement.
Yes,
okay. I just wanted to make sure that's what that was saying.
All right. Any questions on that one? Continue on.
And the 2013 one-ton with dump and plow, replacing that, the 550 four-by-four plow. So all of our trucks, when we replace them, we recommend replacing them with the plow so we can use them on plowing our cul-de-sacs. This is rated at 34 points, so based on our rating sheets, it's due for replacement. It's 2013. It's getting, it's reached the end of its useful life, so.
All right. Well, we made it through Parks and Rec, so now we're looking at the total general fund, 2026. So this is the 1.546, right? That's what we're looking at for the capital expenses.
Yes.
All right. Anything you want to go into on the enterprise fund, or anything on those last two line items there? Looks like that just goes towards the above line items. Is that right?
The first one is the other portion of the cost of that water truck.
Yep.
But the other one is a 60-inch mulcher, which is brand new.
Okay.
And that would be, Bruce would have to explain that.
Oh, this is, Mayor Council, so this is to allow us to actually go in and clean out our storm ponds. So I don't know if any of you noticed the pond that we did last year on the corner of 143rd and Jasper over by the Public Works site. We had some complaints from the businesses in that northwest quadrant of Jasper and 143rd that they were having some problems, security issues, break-ins. We have a pond in that corner, and it was highly vegetated and hadn't been cleaned ever. So they asked if we could go in there and open it up, take out some of the trees. So we rented one of these forestry mulchers from Lano, and that was a game changer for cleaning out those ponds. It's basically take it through the pond. It can eat some pretty big trees, and it just turns them into mulch. You leave the mulch there. It stabilizes the slopes until things start growing. So it made the job really easy, and we are now moving into 2026. We're going to start implementing our stormwater maintenance program. So we have the stormwater facility management policy, the maintenance policy. So we're going to start targeting cleaning out so many stormwater ponds a year. The first thing we're going to do next year is we're planning to hire surveyors to go in and start surveying some of these ponds so we can figure out how much capacity is lost. They have a boat that they float around in the ponds, and they actually survey the pond bottom, and then we can compare that to as-built plans and see what the new elevation of the pond bottom is compared to what it was when it was constructed, see how much it's silted in, determine whether it needs to be cleaned, how much capacity, stormwater management capacity we've lost in that pond. But a lot of our ponds we can't get to because they're just so overgrown, so we have to go start opening up some of these ponds so they can go start surveying them. So that's what the purpose of this is. So this comes out of the stormwater funds.
Okay. Eric, is this one of those disc forestry type mulchers?
Yep.
That was on skid zero. Okay. So I want to make sure I'm looking at the right thing.
Yep.
All right. Any other questions? Did you make it through all the handouts here?
I believe we did.
Was there anything uploaded to the work session, the agenda online that we're not missing on here? Anything else we need to cover?
No. The only thing that was handed out that was in addition was just that overall note, kind of breakout of the departments.
Okay.
Actually, the case was the full line item operating budget, but wasn't staff's intent to go through that tonight necessarily.
Correct.
Just to reiterate this wonderful piece of paper, it does identify some of the bigger operating increases as you continue to think and dream about the budget for the next couple of weeks.
So is it?
Yeah.
I mean, are we at the point where you want kind of high level guidance of like, boy, we'd love to see it under such and such or something like that, or you just, this is more just introduction and we'll talk more later, or?
I don't think we should give, as a council, consensus high-level guidance yet, because I think we're all mulling it over. I think if you have,
yeah, that's good.
But I think it would be helpful if you know your philosophy or where you're leaning, at least any information we give them is good. I just don't want to start giving guidance as a consensus right away, but if you have something that
I'm good.
So I would suggest, I'll get to you in a second, I would suggest we definitely earn our paychecks, not that we don't usually, but hopefully everybody's poring over this over the next 2 weeks to come back with some thoughts to share and things of that nature so we can give make a case for some of this stuff in support or not, and start providing some guidance as we get closer to the end. Councilman Riley. And then
maybe Diana, this sheet. So on the cuts side or the reduction, there's a line item to increase the irrigation maintenance of $40,000, so that was cut out. But then there's also, on the other side, there's the same item, water/irrigation, $40,000. So does that mean it had been proposed to be increased 80,000?
So it was not part of last year's budget, so I'm increasing it over here just to get to, because I have to add that number in. I don't know how to explain it, because it's a positive add back in to the budget. But it's still, I had to add it back over here, but you can still subtract it out over here. Does that make sense? No?
I guess I'm not sure why you had to add it. So
because it wasn't budgeted. That line item, when it was talking about their professional services or whatever, that it was kind of the same amount, that there was 40,000. I guess it would be easier if I just, if you look at the 452 budget and the 6489 account used to have irrigation listed down under there, that line item has been under budget. And so basically that 40,000, that's kind of where that line item has been under budget, is irrigation now was moved up to the water irrigation line. So that 40,000 never was budgeted as part of the original request up here when we first started. So I had to add it back in to get to our final number down here for today.
Okay.
And so that number had to be added back in, but it still has to be, because it's been an addition to the budget, I still had to list it as a possible reduction over here.
Okay, so a possible reduction over there. All right.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Is this HRIS software, is that what Colleen was talking about that she wanted on June 10th?
Yes.
Okay. Chris.
Sorry. Since I just asked about that, what is her status on that? Was she supposed to come back with something when we left that?
The direction given, and I believe it was actually on tonight's agenda, to approve it, and there was some caveats, I know you and Colleen worked on those, if you recall off the top of your head, to kind of account for, basically, if the budget gets approved for it.
Got it. Okay.
Good summary. So it's
a contributor. Some questions that we have about the contract.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Chris,
well, I guess staff, staff in general, would it be better? Would you prefer to have us say, remove this item, this item, this item, this item? Bring it, in my head, I bring it down to where I want it. Or would you rather me say, I want this amount of increase and leave it up to you guys to how you think it's best to get there?
I will speak on behalf of staff and say I would prefer a target number and let us dictate how that money is spent. And, you know, you guys obviously are still approving the final strategy to provide the services we do, but I would like the ability for staff to kind of propose how we meet that number and what we implement or don't implement.
Okay. Can I pose the same question then to council? I mean, are we comfortable with that as an idea then, that rather than going line by line, that we say we want this and let them get there?
This is your number.
Michael? Thank you. Yes, I think that's a good starting place, and I think how we get to that number might be looking at the budget and saying, well, I think this, and we may all think different things and still land on the same number, and that they who work with this stuff all the time and know where their needs are more intense and propose where we get to that number, and then we can balance that against what we thought. I like that strategy.
Final. It's not like they'll just go away. We'll put them over here in the box of they were removed, so they won't be out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. All right. All right, this is probably the hardest part, being on the council. So just let's work together here. Every time people ask me how it's going, I always say, well, we're heading into the budget, and that's where everything gets interesting. So we appreciate everything you're doing. You need to advocate for what the city needs and put all those request boards, because we don't know what you need. So appreciate you doing that. And then we need to look at that through the lens of people elected to manage the budget. So together, we'll have a good team win here for the residents, both in the services we'll provide and the budget that we're going to pass. So.
Well, we've seen Christie's mean side, so we don't
need
to
pay
that. Yeah. Kirsten. Did you say Christie?
He wants you to get mad at him. It's just like, you're hurt. All right. I think that covers that topic then. So please review the future topics list. We've got budget coming up over and over again, which is good. So this is going to be the majority of our time here. If you have any desire to partner on anything, look at the council member topic requests. And anything from the staff?
No, other than if you want to get together, meet and talk about budget, reach out. Happy to do so. And make sure you understand everything.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. It was very helpful to meet with city staff last time I was going through this as a council member. So there's lots of blind spots we have that they can point out if we have questions. All right. I think we're going to move into adjournment then. We are adjourned. All
right. Can we hear? Okay.